Well, let me begin by welcoming everyone who's here today. And as we said, or was said earlier, we do have visitors. In fact, I think we have a couple of people that have never been here before. And we welcome you. I hope you'll want to come back and be with us again in the future. And but I hope we also, those of us that are members here, which has very much to do with the lesson this morning, I hope we put forth a special effort to always make our visitors, always make those who are not members here, feel welcome and want to come back and be part of us here. Very thankful for a number of things that are going on lately. Paul Hammond preached last Sunday night, did a fantastic job. I hope you were able to be here and to hear that. If not, try to listen to it online. Really good job in that sermon. And we've had a lot of, we've had people that have become members lately and so forth. Just a lot of good things are happening. Want to also make mention, as you noticed in the bulletin, a couple of deaths recently that involve our members here, and our condolences, we give them out to you, and hope we can encourage you, and that God especially will be with you and help to comfort you. This morning, as we continue, wait a minute, you did it to me again, Wes. There we go. Okay. As we continue to look at our third quarter emphasis, remember what you are. You may remember that, you may remember though that each quarter I've been doing a lesson called The Member in the Mirror. And this is where we particularly focus on our theme, but we relate it to the idea of ourselves as members of this congregation. This morning I want us to talk about, and I'll get into that in just a second, I want us to talk about us as members of the church being ambassadors for Christ. This passage that Bill just read for us and one other one in the New Testament are the only two, but they use a term that is generally translated ambassador, sometimes representatives, depending upon your translation, but down in verse 20, and the idea of the Christian being an ambassador for Christ. Now, as we look at this, I want to remind us, and you may remember this that I put up each time, of the 80-20% rule, or 80%-20% rule, and what is that? We've asked that question each time, and you know that as we've looked at that idea of 80%-20%, we've noted, and it is generally observed, that many organizations, and churches are not exceptions, but many organizations reflect the 80-20 principle or rule in which the bulk of the work or the achievement that's made by the organization is in fact made by just a fraction of its members. And on the average, for whatever reason that is, across the board, civic organizations, educational organizations, churches, whatever it might be, that's generally about 80% of the work is done by 20% of the members, etc. And as we think about that, and especially as we reflect upon what the Bible teaches, we know the Bible says the body is not one member or 20% of the members, but it is in fact many members. And that's not the Lord's plan for the church, for His church, that 80% of the work be done by 20% of the members, etc. So let's begin to reflect upon that this morning and ask a couple of questions. If indeed the Bible teaches us that the body is edified, that it grows when that which every joint supplies what it's capable of supplying, the effectual working of every part, if all the body is nourished and knit together by, again, all the joints and ligaments, then what does that say to me? What is my part in the Lord's church? And I hope during this year, as you've been thinking about change, and I know many of you have, I'm thrilled at how many people have bought into the whole idea of the theme of this year and making personal changes and so forth. But I hope you've also been thinking about your place, your role, your position, your part in the Lord's church. What is my part in the Lord's church? What could I be contributing to this church here at East Orange? And let's ask in particular with respect to being an ambassador for Christ in this congregation. Now, what does that mean? Me to be, we all know what ambassadors are, don't we? I mean, we we've heard the term, especially those of us who are adults, an ambassador for Christ in this congregation. Let's think about the idea of being an ambassador. An ambassador is a high-ranking diplomat. Obviously, one might say the highest-ranking ambassador would be like our Secretary of State. But we have ambassadors, and they're high-ranking diplomats. We're going to talk about that term in a moment. They are spokespeople. So an ambassador is a spokesperson. He or she is a personal representative of one's own government, of their own government. So in other words, an ambassador of the United States or for the United States is a personal representative for our country. And generally speaking, ambassadors don't just represent the country as much as they are sent out by and represent the chief executive. So the president appoints, he being the chief executive, of course, in our country, the president or a king of another nation appoints an ambassador, and that person goes out as a personal representative. So how does that relate to the New Testament? Well, just this way. Paul talked about being an ambassador, even in bonds and chains, while he was in prison in Rome in Ephesians 6. Paul says we, and I think collectively, we are ambassadors for Christ in 2 Corinthians 5, but we're going to really focus on this passage. Visually, what that means is, as a Christian, I become an ambassador for the government I represent. In other words, I'm an epistle, Paul had already said in this book. I am read by people. They see me as a reflection of what the Bible says. And that can be positive or negative. You have to understand, and I know we do, that most people out there, and many people in here, not necessarily this room, but within the church, are not aware of what the Bible teaches. And yet, people in the world, while they may not know what the Bible teaches, they have some idea, some semblance of what it should, quote unquote, teach. And they look at us as a reflection of it. And they will say things like, if the New Testament or the Bible or Christianity or whatever doesn't do any more for you than that, then why should I want any part of it? Or vice versa, they may look at someone who is a very positive reflection of it and say, I want whatever it is you've got. You know, that idea. So we represent the New Testament, but we really are ambassadors who represent Jesus. Sometimes you wonder, and Paul was talking a little bit about this last Sunday night, you know, what would I say if I wrote the Bible? What would I say if I were God? Sometimes you wonder. You look at what Jesus has done, you look at Matthew 25 or a host of passages, and you realize that the Lord really has entrusted it all, in one sense, to us. Sometimes you wonder about the wisdom of that, not that we question the wisdom of God, but you think in terms of if Jesus were down here and he were walking around, how much better job he could do than me. And yet Jesus would say, no, you are my ambassador. You are my representative. I want the world to see you. I want the world to see me through you. And in the wisdom of God, that is the best arrangement. Even though I might question that, that's exactly what God wants. So as I'm thinking of this idea of being an ambassador, let's reflect, no pun intended, but let's reflect upon that as we go through some points. What does it mean to be an ambassador? I believe that, and I thought long and hard about how I wanted to approach this lesson. I've been thinking about this lesson for a couple of months. And I decided that really, to be an ambassador, and it doesn't matter if the president is appointing someone or whatever, it begins with complete submission to the authority of your superior. In other words, if President Obama is going to send out an ambassador, he wants someone who submits to his authority. He's not wanting somebody who's a rogue out there, a maverick, out there speaking on his own, flying on his own, you know, or whatever. He wants that person to represent, if he's sending him in his stead, in his place,
Well, that person needs to represent him. And that's really true. When we talk about Christians being ambassadors, it begins with a complete submission to our superior. The decision to resolutely, in other words, I resolve to do this. It's like the song we sing, I resolve no longer to linger, etc. The decision to resolutely follow his lead. Now, let's make a couple of practical points from that. Obviously, Jesus called us to follow. We know that. In fact, most people would say, yeah, that's what being a disciple is all about. Jesus called us to follow. He is our Lord. He is our master. We follow his lead. Now, we should really, if we are going to be ambassadors, I believe we have to accept that. We have to really understand that. My place, my position is to follow. Jesus is the Lord, not me in any sense. Jesus is the master, not me in any sense. I remember a long time ago when I first enrolled in a class for martial arts. I've told you many times, I was a horrible coward. I wanted something to give me some self-confidence, and it did. But I remember when I got into that class, and one of the things that the teacher, the master, as he was called, but the teacher taught from the very beginning is, I'm the master. You follow what I say. You don't question it. If you want to be skilled, and you could look at him doing everything he did, you know, he'd break a 2x4 in half, or whatever you say, I want to do that. Well, if you want to, then you follow my lead. You do exactly what I say. Even if it doesn't make sense to you, you do it. I think you have to adopt that attitude about Jesus. It's not looking in here and say, what sounds good to me? I agree with that part, but I don't really agree with that over there. No, it's complete submission. To follow Jesus is to leave behind. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 5. In fact, stay open to it. We're going to spend the bulk of time here. Notice how Paul incorporates into this passage in verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Your old ways are gone. When you submit to your leader, when you submit to the superior, you're saying, I leave behind my old ways. My old ways of thinking, of doing, of speaking, of acting, of feeling. And I completely submit to the teaching, to the philosophy of Jesus. As ambassadors, we have to remember what we are at all times. An ambassador is worthless if he is sent into a foreign country, and usually in a very sticky, we might say, or touchy diplomatic situation, she is absolutely worthless if they forget who they are or what they are. They have to remember what they are at all times. Their emotions don't take over. Their actions, their feelings, their philosophies, what they want, none of that takes precedence. They have to remember what they are at all times. An ambassador has to do that. And what happens in a congregation? Let's just ask this question. If we all adopted that philosophy, Jesus is master at East Orange Church of Christ. Jesus is the Lord. Our personal feelings, wants, wishes, desires, etc., our ways are left behind. We submit to Jesus at this place. What would happen here? If God's people answered this summons, and I mean more than the 20%, what would happen in any congregation if a whole church adopted the philosophy of complete submission to Jesus? I think we would be busting at the seams, personally. I think people would be fighting all over themselves to get here and be part of this place. Because there would be something so different in any church that did this, that people would want it. They would want whatever power, whatever gave those people the ability to be like that. When an ambassador is sent out for the United States, he's representing everything that is good about this country. Every philosophy we have that's made people successful for so long, that make people dream of being here, that make people want to be here, that has made countless people risk their lives to be here. want to get out of other places, and they want to be here.
That's the philosophy that must be adopted by God's people. And if it is, then we are ambassadors doing our job. Following Jesus' lead, summoning people to be part of it. We're ambassadors for Christ, and we're ambassadors to the world. Now let's talk about what that means for a second. We don't isolate ourselves from the world. We went down to Pennsylvania. We preached in an area where there are a lot of Amish people. And the philosophy is separate from the world. Be different. Now there is a sense, obviously if you're open to 2 Corinthians 5, in chapter 6 we are told, come out from among them and be separate. But that's an action in philosophy. We don't literally isolate ourselves from the world. In fact, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 5, you can't completely separate yourself from the fornicators of this world, the idolaters, etc., etc. We don't isolate ourselves. We represent Christ as lights in the community around us. This place should be like a lighthouse, and we should be shining forth a light into this community. Each day brings us new opportunity. Each of us as ambassadors. It brings us new opportunity to demonstrate our relationship to God through our words, through our actions, to show we are really committed to our service as ambassadors. You know, when people, it is said of ambassadors that are sent out by the president or whatever, and they get in those sticky diplomatic situations, that it is far more important than even what they say, it is far more important how they react or respond to whatever happens. Unforeseen, unknown, spur-of-the-moment type reaction, that becomes what seals the deal, so to speak. And you know why? Because people are the same the world over. There's roughly 6-7 billion of us in the world. We're all the same. We watch what other people do. We learn that as little children. Little children watch their parents. They are told, don't get a cookie out of the cookie jar. They reach for the cookie jar. And they cut their eyes back at mom or dad to see how mom or dad is going to react. And if you can get away with it, well, hey, you reach for another cookie. We learn that as little kids. Diplomats understand, ambassadors understand, however I respond at this next few moments will determine how this whole situation is going to go. Same is true for Christians. They're watching us. What we say, what we do. New opportunities every day. Our service doesn't just happen when we come inside these four walls, does it? It happens every day outside the church building. I am always a member of the Church of Christ at East Orange. Every day I am in Christ and I represent Him. I am His ambassador. And I never escape that. There is never a time when I am not part of that. I might like to think that I, quote, unquote, go to church on Sunday, and the rest of the time is mine. But the truth is, the world sees me as someone who is a Christian, and what I say and do is what they react or respond to. An ambassador has to get to know the people among whom he works, how they think, how they act, what their customs are. All of that is very important. And he needs to know his own people. But so important is it to know the person you represent. Because you'll be asked questions. How would the president feel about so-and-so? What does the president think about such-and-such? It's no different than a Christian being asked what Jesus stands for. And I'm expected to respond to that. I'm expected to tell them. I'm expected to show them what Jesus would do in this given situation. Are you a Christian? Do you stand for Christ or not? An ambassador can't be effective without respect for his superior, excitement for whom and what he represents. You know, if people always see in me a complete reluctance to be a Christian, I don't really want, oh, I'm a Christian. I have to be. That's what I have to do. Jesus says, I got to do this, I got to do it. If that's all they ever see, why in the world should they ever want any part of it?
But if people see someone who is excited, I'm a Christian. I love being a Christian. You know what Jesus does for me every day? You know how I feel about Jesus? We sing songs about it. We talk about loving Him and appreciating Him and thanking Him and wanting to be part of Him. But do we live that? By the same token, an ambassador can't go across the seas and demonstrate his pride to the extent that he thinks he's better than everyone else. Who wants to be part of that? If a person comes walking through those doors and gets the impression that everybody in here thinks that they are better than me, why should I want to be last or bottom on the list? Why should I want to be any part of that? If a person gets the idea in my family when I'm away from here that because I am a Christian and I don't do what you do, that means I think I'm better than you are, why should they want to be part of that? Now, the idea has to be that I live the way I do because I respect Jesus. I want you to be part of that. But in no way whatsoever, in any sense, do I think I'm better than you. Man, I got just as many problems. I got just as many things that I need to work on there as in anybody. It's like Sammy Davis said a long time ago on the Archie Bunker show, I can honestly tell you, you ain't better than anybody. And that's the truth. I can honestly tell you that I ain't better than anybody. And I need to express that. People need to understand that. It's just that I want us all to be better in Jesus. Effective ambassadors pay attention to the small details too. Sometimes people get it in their heads. They get the idea that if they can't do the big things, then they can't be effective. It's not the big things. It's the small things. It's the small details that you have to pay attention to. It's the small details in diplomatic discussions that make all the difference. And any ambassador will tell you that. You know, a very small act of kindness can have a great impact. And I refer you to Matthew 25, as I often do. And remember when Jesus divides the sheep from the goats, and Jesus tells a group of people, you're coming to heaven. And to another group, you're not. That it's not the great big things that he singles out. It's giving a cup of water. It's giving a meal to someone. It's the small things we all can do. And in Jesus' mind, that makes all the difference. It's like the superior telling the ambassador, when you go overseas, it's not the treaty, it's not the deal, it's the small details that will be so important. That's what will make or break this whole deal. Pay attention to the details. It's like the song we sing, each day I'll do a golden deed. Because it is golden. It leads to gold. The small things we all can do. Our message is to the world. Now I'm going to go through this a little bit quickly, but I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 5. And let's just notice what Paul says here. Our message is the message of reconciliation. Bill read this passage for us. Notice how Paul talks about be reconciled. In verse 18, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That word reconciled means to be restored to a favorable relationship or friendship. Here's the idea of God taking the initiative. As Georgie said a little bit earlier, God did it first. God moved first. So we could be friends again. And he did that by Jesus Christ. Our message is a message of reconciliation. Our perception of other people has to be as Christ would see them. Now I want you to understand this. We tend to look at people and label them. We label them as homosexuals. We label them as fornicators. We label them as drunkards. We label them as idolaters. We label them as foreigners. We label them with all kinds of conceivable labels. But Jesus does not. Jesus looks at them and realizes what they could be in Him. Jesus comes to Peter, and Peter says, Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinner. And Jesus says, no, you're not. You're a fisherman of men. Jesus comes to Matthew, and Matthew is a tax collector. And the people look at him and say, he's a dirty, filthy tax collector. And Jesus said, no, he is not. He will collect people for me into the kingdom. That's what ambassadors do. They look at people not for what they are, but what they could be in Jesus Christ. Paul begs people here. Read it together with me. In verses 16 and 17, he says, from this point on, we Christians do not know anybody after the flesh. That's what other people do. We don't. We understand that if a person is in Christ, he is recreated. He's new. Everything is new. That's what we teach. The good news is that everyone can be right with God. Right with Him because of what God has done through Christ. All things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Know this, verse 19, to wit, that is to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Not imputing, not accounting, not putting on their ledger their trespasses unto them. But He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What does that mean? It means go out there and tell them, God doesn't want that on your record. God wants you to be restored to Him. In fact, we beg you, verse 20, we pray you in Christ's stead, we plead to you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Because God has made that possible. How many people are walking around in this world saying things like, God would never forgive me. I've done so much. That didn't come from the Lord. That is not a message that God preaches. That is not something Jesus ever said, not to one person. You've done so much, I don't want you. The message was, this is what you can be. Come to me, and then go and sin no more. That's our message to people. To be an ambassador of Christ is a great honor and privilege. We represent the very Son of God and we relay His message of reconciliation. We never have to be ashamed of Jesus or His message. Now, we might be ashamed of the way some people in His kingdom act. And we might be ashamed of ourselves. And that's why we're not ambassadors for the church. I hear that term sometimes. But that's not who we are. We are ambassadors for Jesus. And He never fails. Never have to be ashamed of Him. We are Jesus' personal representatives at all times. We send a message one way or the other. And we do every day. It may be a message Jesus does not want sent. But we send one every day, one way or the other. Let's pray that it be reconciled to God. Remember what you are. You are an ambassador for Christ. Let's close by making this same observation. I'm going to make a change. And I hope that you take that change, that responsibility to change seriously with respect to being an ambassador, both inside this room and outside these doors. I'm going to make a change for once in my life. It's going to feel real good. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make it right. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. Are you here today and you're not a child of God? You've never obeyed the gospel. You've never come to Jesus and been reconciled to God. But you can. There isn't any amount of anything you've done that makes it so bad, that makes you so bad, that God does not want you. He wants you. Come to the Lord. Receive His forgiveness. Because you believe. You believe in Jesus. He's the Son of God who died for you. You are willing to make the changes necessary to live your life for Him. And this morning, you'll be baptized to have your sins washed away. and to be reconciled to God. And maybe it is that you're here and you're a member of the church, you've done all of that, but you still have not represented Jesus. You've not been in your life every day what you need to be. And you want to make that change today. You'd like for us to pray together with you, and we would love to do that. Won't you please come while Kenny leads us in the song.